Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Everybody, welcome back to another conversation here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. This is a wonderful question. How do you run a great event for your teenagers, for your students? And I've got two experts on this, AJ Crocker and Caitlin Brennan. Listen, you guys, this is going to be so fun because I know both of you and I know the events that you run. And I've got all sorts of context for who you are, but our listeners don't. So, Caitlin, why don't we start with you? Fill people in. Hey, where are you coming from today? Who are you? What gives you the right to talk about this subject? That sounds overly antagonistic, but
now I have nothing to say.
Made me think of The Office of getting into that with like Michael's. What gives you the right to talk about? But go ahead, introduce yourself.
All right, my name is Kate Brennan, and I'm coming to you from Briarcrest right now, just sitting in my office at work.
What is Briarcrest? Lots of people don't know what that
is. Lots of questions. Okay, Briarcrest is a college in Cairnport, Saskatchewan, actually three schools, high school. AJ should have answered this question. high school, college,
and seminary. This was a test. He told me ahead of time that I need to ask you that question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
High school, college, and a seminary. Very, very cool. In the middle of the prairies. I'm an alumni of Briarcrest, so I've been in Cairnport. It's a special place for sure. And that, I mean that in a good way, actually. It's special in heart. Okay, so you're at Briarcrest, and what do you do at Briarcrest? What's your deal there?
I currently serve as the director of YouthQuake, and YouthQuake is retreats and events that we have here at the school. We have two spring retreats, a senior high and a junior high, and then we also offer an online mini-series every year called YQ at Home.
Okay, cool. So you run a big event, which is part of why you get a chance to chat about this. Two big events. Three big events, kind of.
Three, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two and a half, let's say.
So when we get into it, so you guys are listening, know that this is a combination. There will be practical things if you want to run a big event with your students. But I think the principles, I'm hoping, will they apply also if they just want to run a small, like, pizza night with their small group and make it a good event?
Absolutely.
Okay. I like it. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about your personal life, Kate?
Personal life, yes. I would like to share that I'm a part-time farmer, and I'm really good with cows. Yes.
You're a part-time, you farm cows. Is that how you say it?
No. Yeah, part-time, as in my dad actually does it, but I just take the credit.
And what kind of cows are they?
They're like meat
the
breed, cows.
But yeah, that was the question. I was like, do you get... Yeah, food or drink from them. Okay.
Food, yeah.
Food, excellent.
Yes.
I have so many questions about the cow experience, but let's actually stay on topic because that might be more helpful. AJ, fill people in so when they hear your voice, they know who you are.
Yeah, so I'm AJ Crocker. I also work at Briarcrest here. I've worked here for what seems like forever, but it's only 15 years. My wife teaches at the high school here. I served as chaplain at our high school for a bunch of years. I was director of YouthQuake before Kate was, and currently serve as vice president of external relations.
This is an external relation at this point.
I think so. Yeah, this would count. This would count.
I love that.
I'm also a prairie sneakerhead, so that's a very bit different than an urban sneakerhead. But I do purchase shoes from time to time, and I'm a big minivan advocate in my part-time hobby life. So those are a few things about me.
No, you missed the most personal and the most important thing was that you and I were in dorms together. We actually did university.
Were we ever?
Yeah,
we sure did. Here's my favorite part of dorms with Jeremy. If you've been listening, if you're a friend of the podcast, a longtime listener, you know Jeremy well. And Jeremy introduced me to Facebook by sending me my first Microsoft Outlook meeting request to line up a time where he could show me how to use Facebook just as it was coming of age.
Absolutely.
And I've never looked back. I've had a Facebook account since that meeting. And that was really a transformative time in my life, Jeremy. So I thank you for that. And if you know Jeremy like in person, he was pretty much the exact same person in freshman year of college as he is now. consistency through the roof.
No,
Mr. Jeremy McDonald.
No personal progress in my life. I peaked at first year. No, that's great. Okay, so the truth is that yes, full transparency. I've been at Youthquake before. I haven't been to it. I guess I went a few years ago, but I've kind of watched the journey for you guys and how you've led this particular big event, which is a traditional. If you guys have been to large scale youth events before, with like the big name speaker, with bands, trying to create this catalytic experience for students to experience faith in a really profound kind of way. Youthquake certainly is that. And you guys have done that with excellence, I know, for so many years, for decades. Honestly, it's a long, long, long history of it. But so today, what we really want to do is get into some of the ideas that you guys have learned as directors of Youthquake on how to run great events so that anybody, again, anybody listening, can create these kinds of experiences. So let me first start by asking, why do you think something out of the norm, something outside of our regular rhythms, like an event, like a catalytic experience, like a Youthquake, why is that important for our core mandate as youth workers, which is, you know, to point kids towards Jesus, to help them grow in their faith? What about that special kind of gathering is important for their overall spiritual well-being?
Yeah, I think I'd say that there's a reason people drive out to the mountains to go and see the mountaintop and take in the beauty that it is. We can get sometimes when we're thinking too hard, we can get down on the mountaintop experience spiritually. But there's a reason that people are drawn to those types of things. There's a reason people are drawn to vacations and to leaving their rhythm in normal life. And I think big events, whether it's the big banquet at Christmas with your youth group, or it's the big conference or retreat that you travel hours and hours to and stay for a weekend, I think these weekends give students and leaders alike something to look forward to, something to put on the calendar, something to think about for weeks on end. And the Lord, I think, raises the anticipation for what might happen. And really, as event organizers, we know that we set a stage, we create an atmosphere, we plan a schedule, we book some speakers, and then the years, months and years of work that youth workers have put into these kids' lives that show up to our event, they get to see the fruit of all that time. We get to see the fruit of all that time that they've spent. And often it just feels like stepping out of our rhythm and going to something that is a large scale, big deal that we've looked forward to for a long time. It just feels like hearts and minds are a bit more ready to move or to make a commitment or to be shaped after thinking about it and talking about it and looking forward to it for so long. So I really do think that you know, there's value in coming down off the mountain as well. Those moments atop the mountain are beautiful, and then there's beauty in coming back to normal life, having something to look back to and remember and to call back to. And I think there's a reason that a big event, a graduation, a fall kickoff, these types of events we lead up to, there's hype towards them. And then afterwards, we can look back and be thankful and remember what God did. And they serve as a memorial stone of sorts for us and our groups to look back to and to think about.
Yeah, yeah. That's so helpful, because I think it's sometimes we get a little, maybe sometimes frustrated. I know as a local church youth pastor, you know, putting in the work week in and week out, and then you're like, why don't kids come to Christ, you know, en masse when I do just my Bible study with my small group? But recognizing that there is actually something important and special about those other spaces, and even the stories that get told about their people's spiritual journey. I mean, I even think for my own spiritual journey, and I think about, you know, when our small group went away and camping for a weekend, and the spiritual decisions that happened, along with the incredible memories of being together as a group in a different setting. And so there's such value in that. Have you guys heard stories after hosting this conference for so long of some of the, like, those individual wins? Do you hear that back from, you know, groups of students that come, or like maybe even a personal story of like the impact of these kinds of events?
Yeah, for sure. I think like one of the biggest ones is whenever we get emails back afterwards from youth pastors, and it's like a video of a student testimony or like of a baptism, and like during their baptism, you know, they share a little bit about that journey, and Youthquake comes up in their testimony, and they talk about that kind of spiritual high that AJ just addressed, but then they also talk about the relationship they have with their youth pastor, and you almost see that relationship, you know, from before to during to after, and how because of an experience like Youthquake and that mountaintop, they had such a connection with their youth pastor, and that relationship grew in their trust, not only of them, but of their whole group and of their youth group and of church. And that like leads them to want to get baptized. And I think I'm thinking of one in particular just because it was recent. It was last year in Saskatoon, a girl was baptized, and I got sent the testimony. And so I think it's just really cool when we see that. It's not just a mountaintop experience for them. It's actually transforming their life. And because of Youthquake and because of the experience they got to have, like I said, with the relationship with their youth pastor and that trust being built, that's going to actually continue on for years to come because of what they experienced. And that's one thing we really talk about with Youthquake, is that it's a retreat and not a conference. And so we really ask for full youth groups to come together to this event. And our hope is that those relationships just continue to deepen because it is the youth pastor that's putting in that day-to-day work. It is the small group leaders that are meeting with their kids weekly. And this is just one weekend out of their whole year together. But if we offer them experiences and a time to just come together, not have to worry about planning or organizing anything other than just showing up and allowing time and space for them to just connect, have those good conversations, have fun experiences together, we know that's only going to help them when they leave, when they go into the summer, and then if those kids are going to continue going to that youth group starting again in the fall.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so cool. So now let's just take a step back and think, okay, we've got youth workers listening. We've got volunteers from, you know, across our country, Canada, all down through the States, you know, some internationally as well. And so, you know, maybe the youth workers in Southern New Zealand that listen, like they can't make it to a Youthquake weekend, but they want to, you know, do something special for their group. What's the best way, some ideas that you might have picked up over the years so that other youth workers can have and run great events? What are your suggestions or ideas?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, Kate and I both come from Youthquake background most recently, but Kate came to Briarcrest out of years of running program at the camp near her farm. As well as
wait, was it Stony a farm Lake. Camp? No, it's actually
Stony Lake. Not a farm camp. Not a farm camp. Stony Lake but Bible also, Camp.
Kate was also very involved in her school SLC, like her school student leadership in high school. And so by the time she got to work with us at Youthquake, she was excellent at this stuff. In my life, you know, in high school, I would have taken some leadership at my youth group in my small church. I did a couple internships in Ontario and in BC at some churches running senior high groups, trying to figure out how to run the local events. So a lot of what we're going to talk about here isn't just the big retreat, the big conference, learn, but it's the principles that we've identified as things we still use with Youthquake, but things that are also very valuable for the pizza night, for the movie night at our local youth groups. In Kate's role, she's got Youthquake as half her role. The other half, she runs a thing called Briarfest, which is our kind of a week of welcome at the college. And there, you know, she's running a big
pool
party. A big movie night, a big Briarcrest Olympics, and stuff that would be far more like what a camp or what a youth group would be running. So that's just some of the context where this is coming from. The first thing we wanted to mention, Jer, is it's so important to know yourself, to know your team, and to know your audience. And this is just the a principle of self-awareness. If I know that I'm really good up front and I can hold a mic and I can hold an audience's attention, well, then I'll naturally start planning events that cater to that because the Lord's gifted me there. And it's not just that I want the microphone, it's that, you know, students actually listen and things go smooth if we're up front and we're using those gifts. And so I think for yourself as a volunteer youth worker, you just want to think, like, how has the Lord gifted me? Like, what are the experiences that I've been given, and what are the ways that I can contribute? And that's a typical, you know, a Christian leadership thought and principle. But when it comes to planning fun events, I think it's important to not lose sight of the way we're gifted so that we can lean into the way that God is already channeling through us and has prepared us for these things. and then to look at your team. Like, not all teams are created equal, and sometimes you're loaded up with people who are wild and crazy and tons of personality, and other times you've got a lot of fine detailed people who are able to do the knockout job behind the scenes, but you don't have the big upfront charismatic personality. And often, you know, a lot of the youth groups that we serve at Youthquake, there's a lot of parents that are driving these youth groups right here. They're the key youth leaders. There's a lot of, you know, older siblings or an older cousin that's gathering students together to serve at the church. And there's no paid youth worker. There's just a volunteer here or there. It's a parent that's trying to do it for their kids. And so understanding that your team, yourself, what you've been given and what you're stewarding right now, giving your planning that lens and that filter gives you some freedom to actually just live in your strengths and not try to compare yourself to other teams that you see on Instagram or whatever you're looking. And then the last part of that is just knowing your audience. And this one's probably the most helpful piece. For us, we know when we look through our Youthquake groups, when we look through who comes to Briarcrest and we look through, you know, where we're pulling students, it's a lot of rural prairies. Like we're rural prairies. We speak to Weyburn and to Medicine Hat and to Brooks, Alberta and to Brandon, Manitoba really well. And they love us and they keep coming. And so, you know, our biggest years, this is just a random kind of quirky fact about this. We know that if we can land a country artist on our roster, that Youthquake grows by 200 to 300 people. Like that's just it's a given. Like, we should put it on the wall because that might not work for Change Conference or for, you know, the guys out west. Like that might not work for an urban based retreat. But for us, if there's at least a glimmer of country on the roster, we get more twang. And so that's just us though knowing our audience. And so if you know you're serving a youth group that's full of athletes, well then that's going to shape your planning. If you're serving a group of people that's heavy into horseback riding or heavy into paintball or heavy into video games, like plan your events with your audience in mind and don't try to just do what you see all the guys on Orange doing. I think that's something that's been freeing for us as we articulate what our audience cares about, who they are, and then it's been successful for us to narrow into segment that way.
That's so helpful because it makes me think of my youth group experience growing up, because we had a youth pastor came on and he was like an intense sports guy. And so almost immediately it was like, hey, let's do sports events in the afternoon. And it just made sense because he actually knew what he was doing. And so it was fun. And we were happy just to hang out and have a good time. And then our small group leader that I was mentioning going into the woods and the cabin and that kind of stuff, he was actually when you work and you actually care for the woods. That is like
conservation.
Yeah, he's like a forest ranger. Forest ranger. That's the one. That's what I was trying to get to. Yeah. So he's legitimately a forest ranger, and he knew when we're out there, like, oh, you guys can light a fire at the bottom of this tree, and he knew the tree wouldn't actually catch on fire. And so, but it was the coolest thing for us to think like, oh, we're gonna try and set this entire forest on fire and prove him wrong. But he just understood and knew what was going on enough that that we could create these funny experiences and so on like that. Obviously, if you're not a forest ranger, you shouldn't take a bunch of grade 12 guys in the middle of the woods. You don't know what's going to happen. But if that's your experience, allow other people to see it. That's kind of fun. Cows. So, you know, if you're a dairy cow farmer, when it comes time to, I don't know, to harvest or something. No, don't bring kids to that. That would
harvest Kate, those tell, cows.
Yeah.
Tell them about the school SLC retreat you were speaking at.
Yeah, for sure. Our team went to an SLC retreat for Christian schools in the fall, and we were able to work with their teams and kind of work through this platform of knowing yourself, knowing your team, and knowing your audience. And there was one SLC group, and all they wanted to talk about was basketball. Like their school was just such a big basketball school. I think they had won like provincials the year before, and it was a really big deal. And that's pretty much all that I heard coming from their group when they were talking about it. And so that was the one thing that we just focused on. So I said, okay, like, what are your home openers like? Do you guys have pep rallies? What do you do at your pep rallies? How do you guys support your teams when they're on the road? Like, how can we bring people together if basketball is this big key piece for your school? And not make it something that you know, you need to move away from because, oh, it feels like that's always the focus. Because if everyone's on board with it, like the team, the rest of the students that aren't on the team, like staff and faculty, then just press into it and just really celebrate that team, that sport. And if it's bringing people together, which, and then we kind of talked about, you know, goals and what does it actually mean when an event is successful. And if it is like bringing the whole school together and having that, you know, experience of celebrating this team, then just press into that. And so we talked a lot about pep rallies and they had some really fun ideas. And a lot of them just included engaging the audience, you know, during halftime, having more games where people from the stands come out and play, lots of prizes, and different ways to even watch the game. The one team brought furniture, like couches and chairs, and they set up a whole VIP watching section. And it was if you won some competition, I think you had to dress like whoever had the best outfit for the game, like most team spirit, they got to sit on these like couches and chairs and not like in their bleachers for the whole game. And that was like a huge deal. And so everyone went all out and dressing up. And it was just a really easy way for, you know, majority of your like spectators to be fully engaged in the game before it even started. So just really fun ideas coming from that group. And so, yeah, that would be my one little piece there. They obviously knew their audience and basketball was the game. So that's what they planned around, which was really cool.
That's so good. When you think about knowing your audience, how does that lead you into deciding what the goal of your event might be? Is that a helpful, like you want to target, right? You want to know how to, like tell a youth worker, like what should their goal be for some of these types of events that they might be trying to run?
I think that would be something for each individual volunteer actually, because they're going to know, like, especially if they're like a volunteer small group leader, they're going to know their small group. And so if it's like this is their first year being all together and like everyone's new, then the goal might be like, okay, what are some events or what are some things that we can do so that everyone gets to know each other a lot better and start to really build that trust? So then as the year progresses and we start moving into, you know, deeper conversations or just having more conversation as the focus of their group, that they know they've already laid that foundation of we know each other, we trust each other, and we've had these experiences together to kind of show that. But if they're a group that's been together for years, you know, maybe it's a group of seniors, you know, going into their fourth year of being a small group and their leader has been with them the whole time, then their goal for events is probably going to look a lot different because they already have that camaraderie. They trust each other. They've had those conversations. And so maybe it's that small group leader saying like, I really want to dive deeper into maybe just scripture. Like they haven't really had a huge focus on just reading and learning scripture together. And so that's like their focus. Or maybe they have talked a lot about, you know, scripture and they're really good at talking about that, but a lot of them haven't really like opened up themselves and like they haven't really focused on praying for each other or learning how to pray for each other through like other things outside of what's happening in youth group. And I just feel like that can be so different for each group. And for a small group leader, knowing their group, and then obviously for a youth pastor, knowing their whole youth group before the year kind of starts, or even in the middle of the year, that goal can totally change. But that would be kind of my perspective on that one. I don't know if you have any thoughts, AJ.
Yeah, I would just add, like, it's so important to clarify your goal as a volunteer team at the beginning. So if the goal is we want excitement, you know, once a month, an exciting event once a month, and your team, your audience, I mean, really loves basketball, well then let the fun hype event be basketball. Like I don't know that your goals need to be like, you know, we need three bowling events. We need to make sure we're outside, you know, playing in the field four times a month. It's like if we have outdoorsy kids, well then the big event that everyone looks forward to, make sure that's outdoorsy so that they're pumped about it. Like know the key interests and what drives the passion and the heartbeat of your kids. And then prioritize those types of events when you've got money and time and effort put into it. And then just state it like, hey, we're doing this for relationship. We're doing this for for team bond or for group bonding. We're doing this so that we earn relationship and shared experience. And because all these kids are so into basketball, it's going to be a basketball type event. And really leave the creative expression of the event to be dictated by what your audience loves. And if you're doing that, you're going to win. The kids are going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so running a great event, how do you run one? How do you get one going here? You're going to know yourself, your team, your audience. That's going to help you set and clarify what you're actually trying to accomplish, what the goal is. And then once you actually start into some of the details or the planning, do you have any thoughts or ideas, some principles that can be helpful for youth workers?
Yeah, for sure. And I think just one thing I want to touch on from what we were just talking about, I think just like be willing to change your expectations, especially for kind of, you know, the key youth leader, if their small group leaders are changing or their volunteers are changing, their team is obviously then changing. So if you, you know, did a really cool event the year before and it was a huge success and you want to do it again, but you know, your new team that's kind of coming in, or if you had a few key people that helped pull off that event have switched out, then maybe don't keep that expectation of maybe that event going exactly like it was, and just be realistic with, you know, the team that you have now and how you can change it up, but maybe still keep the event there at its core. I feel like we see that a lot here at Briarcrest with our events teams and just, you know, students, you know, shuffling in and out. And we kind of have our key events that are staples in each semester, but everything else is kind of fluid and can change. And it's really dependent on, you know, who takes up that event's role. And I think that's just, that's just being self-aware and yeah, just going back to the root of that, knowing yourself and knowing your team in that piece. So last bit there. But yeah, the next kind of section we have is we just kind of want to talk a little bit about brainstorming. Youthquake definitely needs a lot of hours of brainstorming to, just make sure that we're matching our audience, as that's going to change every year. And so keeping some of the core pieces like the schedule and main sessions the same, but trying to add as much variety to everything else in the schedule as possible. And so we kind of have five tips on how we think you should brainstorm. And so the first one is allow time for preparation. The second is have a key prompt. The third is set expectations beforehand. The fourth, invite new voices to the table. And the fifth, don't limit your list. We're just going to kind of walk through those five. It's kind of the steps that I think through whenever I bring people to the table.
You go walk through all five, which are great, I want to know, at what stage did you guys come up with having, is it horseback archery, or is what happens at Youthquake in terms of an event? There's horses, right?
We do have horses. Yeah. I've never heard of
Ranch Camp. Absolutely.
I've never heard of mashing archery and horseback riding together.
Well, they're not together.
I mean,
we can
talk about it. We should have invited you to brainstorming.
Archery tag on horseback. That did
often not. The horses are riding around the archery tag. So if you go to archery tag, I mean, you'd get kicked out, but you could hit one horse once and then not be kicked out. Yeah.
How did you get to archery tag or horses? That's kind of interesting. In the middle of winter, what made you think to bring out horses of all things?
So that was my good friend Art Thiessen that used to run Dallas Valley. He just said, you know, we love what you're doing at Briarcrest. We love what you're doing at Youthquake, and they're an hour away. They're a huge, huge ranch camp. You know, they've fundraised a $2 million campaign and built a riding arena so they could ride inside in the summers. And that's what they do. And they're really good at it. So they would cart out their horses each day. They wouldn't stay overnight, cart out their horses each day. Often it was a blizzard, and our Youthquake students would be able to hop on and go for a 15-minute ride around our big football soccer fields and come back. And then in the spring, we can clearly see where the horses were all Youthquake weekend. So that's how we got there. Kate mentioned the allow time for preparation. And this is actually something that in my life, I learned from my wife when she was teaching me a little bit about classroom management. And in my preaching, she just said, like, hey, with these students, like, you want to just forecast your expectations and tell them what's coming and not surprise them with everything so that they can get their heads there. And I liked a big reveal. I liked a big shock. I liked the gasp from an audience on a good illustration. But I started doing that, just calling my shot and letting them know where we're going. And then in brainstorming with Youthquake, I just started emailing my interns and emailing our student team ahead of time to say, hey, here's what we're talking about. Here are the three questions. I need you to come with your homework done. Like, I need you to be thinking about this in your downtime, in the back of your mind, so that when we ask this question, we don't go for 3 hours of brainstorming, that we do a hard 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and you bring your best ideas to the forefront. So if you warn your team that's coming, that you're, let's say you're in August or July, and you're brainstorming what your calendar should look like or your big events should look like, or you're working with your student leaders in September, like, give them the questions a week out. Tell them to be thinking about it. Tell them to bring their homework. Their teachers always do. You know, whenever we think we should ease off of teenagers on like preparation and being prepared and extra work, like, just remember that they also have to do calculus. Like, they also have to do creative writing and all these very hard subjects, and they are capable of doing this. So lean on them, tell them it's coming, and your brainstorming will go way faster and way better if they bring their best ideas to the forefront at the beginning of the meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Any other, you guys have got a great list here, a lot of time for preparation, key prompt, set expectations beforehand, invite new voices, don't limit your list. Maybe give me, I want just like a good idea here out of the key prompt. What do you mean by that when you think about brainstorming?
Yeah, so with that one, really similar to what AJ just said, you know, sending a note out to whoever is coming to your brainstorming session or who you kind of want in that conversation, and send them a specific question or that you're answering. And so, okay. You know, for us, like getting ready for the fall for our events, Briarfest, a big events that we do is Briarcrest Olympics. And so for my team, I send out past games and activities that have been included in that event, kind of a little description of what they look like. And then I tell each of them that they have to come to the meeting with one new idea. And then that way at the very start, you know, the problem is like, what are our events going to be for Briarcrest Olympics? Everyone already has one. And even if it's like simple, or, you know, they say it's not quite worked out yet, at least it's the beginning of an idea. And then as a team, we have something to go off of. And then potentially through that, we come up with new ideas because people are bringing so many different unique ideas to the table. So yeah, that just kind of starts the conversation off and doesn't give you that 15 minutes at the beginning of everyone humming and hawing and being like, I don't know, and the quick Google searching and things like that. So
yeah, fair enough. Okay, I love that. Talk to me about other things. So you got some brainstorming about your event, you're thinking about it, and obviously if you're a youth worker, you're thinking about just for an event for your small group, you might, the brainstorm might just be, you know, you're thinking about this on your own on your drive or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But if it's a bigger thing, obviously you want to do something more formal. After you do some brainstorming, you've got a sense of your audience, you know a little bit of what you want to accomplish here. Any other thoughts as you kind of move into a bit more of the execution phase of an event?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we've been learning with our high school students is that they need way more communication than our students from 5 years ago or 10 years ago did. And so I think the thing that jumps to my mind first is that we need to be over communicating, like to a redundant level, like to be asking ourselves, how are we communicating and is it working? Like, that's one thing. And then basically doubling what we're doing. I think that we need to communicate earlier than we assume we need to. And that is sometimes to get the church body on board, to make sure people are aware of the event. But to be honest, like, I got a daughter in grade 5 right now. And so my wife and her friends are all, you know, moms of junior high aged kids now. And their calendars are locked for the next 3 months. Like, good luck getting into May right now. This is March while we record. Like good luck getting in 12 weeks and into that family calendar. And if we're going to plan as a youth group, if we're going to plan a big gala in the spring, well, then we better communicate at least the save the date, the time, like 3 months out. Like, you better have it so that the families who want to be there, who are your key families, are able to put it on their calendar and protect it. Because I also know when all my daughter's dance competitions are through April and May, and I know when her soccer tournaments are. And if the church wants into that calendar, well, then I need to know now so I can start rearranging those things. And so I think if we communicate in quantity, a couple different channels, the church app, as well as the Sunday morning, as well as email home, as well as tell the kid in person, send home the paper on Sunday. And we're communicating at the mom's schedule, at the mom's calendar, not the grade 7 boys calendar. I think then we're going to be ahead in our attendance, in our knowledge of the event, and in the ability for our kids to invite their friends because they've got more information. And what happens when my daughter tells me about something her friend told her? Well, I text her, the friend's dad or the friend's mom, and say, what is this about? So you want the information in at least in the parents' inbox, so that when they're getting texts from their kids' friends, the very thing that we want those kids to do, that our parents have the information to back up the event, and we see our events grow.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, that's good. Kate, anything else from you as you think about execution on events? Make sure that they're going to roll smooth.
Yeah, so I think this goes back to knowing yourself and knowing your team. I think just the clearer you can be on the details of the event and really clarifying what expectations you have, it's going to help your entire team succeed. And so kind of going back to the expectations of like, what does it mean for this event to succeed? Knowing that goal and over communicating that goal to your team as you're in your planning stage, your final preparations, and even throughout it. And just like the clear details for everyone who's in the room, everyone you're communicating to, it's there, it's locked, it's loaded, and it's not still fuzzy. And kind of like what AJ just said about communicating, that this is all the way down to the kids, that they even know what's happening. They know when the event is, what it's going to look like. And you've shared the pieces that are actually going to generate interest and excitement into your team and into your audience so that it does get into their calendar. And they come to the event. And I think the last one would just be start earlier. I think I say that almost every day, probably, to my interns, to our student team, to kind of anyone I work on events with, is we should probably start that now. Because if you backtrack on your personal calendar from kind of where you are to when your event is and how much work it's going to take to do all the prep in between, you're usually already behind by the time you think I should start this. So it always takes longer than you think to run a really good event. And so I would just say be a big gap of time between when you're starting to when it's actually happening. And it's better to be finished all your prep, 2 weeks out than an hour into the event. So giving yourself that time is going to be helpful.
I'd say too, Jer, that you want to prioritize what events you plan first. Like let's say you've got the 13 or 14 weeks in a semester of youth group, and you're going to do, four big events in that time. Well, what is the most important one to your group, to you as a leader, to your volunteer team, to the students? And then track out how long that's going to take to knock that event out. And if that's the fourth event, it probably means your event number one, two, and three are going to be less prepared or less extravagant, but you want to put your best foot forward for the best event, the most important event. And if that's a Christmas banquet, well, then the whole fall should be kind of catered around how do we get to an incredible Christmas banquet. And then once you know that that's going to take, 6 weeks of time of thinking and planning and buying, purchasing and advertising, then you go, okay, well, what is the other six? What can we put into those into the other weeks and work backwards from that? And so if you're able to think through, like, what's the top priority for our group? Know your audience, brainstorm out all the ideas. And of these ideas, what is the most important one this year? If we could only hit one home run this year, what would it be? Well, put your best foot forward there and let the other things be by the seat of your pants and be a little late or be a little underprepared, because you've got this mountaintop experience again coming that you and your team have put all your time into and your best foot forward, and the kids are going to love it and the Lord's going to use it in some incredible ways. And then you get there and it's a home run. You are so, so thankful for that. And you don't even remember the movie night that you forgot about what was happening, 3 weeks earlier, and you just put threw the movie on. I think that part is often missed because we are moving, so fast from week to week that we forget to look out and we don't realize that the Christmas banquet or the big event is going to take, a good 6 or 8 week lead up. And we end up with a bit of a flat balloon at the end of it there. The last thing I'll say too is I think it's okay to state the goal publicly. Like if you've got a Sunday morning announcement or you've got an email newsletter going to parents, tell them what you're trying to do. Like the parents are with you. Like if they're on your email, if they've said yes to accepting your emails, like they are with you. And so just tell them this event might be a movie night, but really what we're trying to do is get friends out and meet new friends. That's what we're trying to do. So help us get new friends out. Or the Christmas banquet is, a $15 ticket and that's going to the catering. But really, this is like a formal event. It's a significant event. And we're going to share testimonies and speak into specific kids' lives. And that is what this is about. It's not just about, we need a decorating committee, but it's really about speaking into these kids' lives. Just state your goal. What does success look like? Like if we speak into these kids' lives, it's going to be successful, a successful Christmas banquet. Well, stating that ahead of time is going to help with both your church understanding, your group understanding what you're doing as a youth ministry team, as well as your own team being energized by the event that they put all that time into. It's going to pump your team's tires, help them feel better about themselves. And the next year, you're going to have something to build off of.
Yeah, I love that so much. Okay, so we've got listeners. They are ready to plan their own event. That's incredible. They're excited about that. It could be a small one. It could be a big one. But then there are sometimes, and this is where we want to wrap things up here, certainly opportunities to leverage other events that people have already planned. And so why don't you guys fill people in if they would rather than plan their own? They want to come and hang out with you guys or use the tools that you guys have put together. What's the best way for them to do that in this season?
Yeah, absolutely.
Best way to do that? Kate, it's Kate's event. Kate, you go ahead.
It was the delay for me. I didn't even notice you were speaking. Anyway, I was just going to say, we have two retreats coming up this spring. Really excited about it. We have our senior high for grades 9 to 12, April 28th to 30th, right here on campus. And then our junior high event, which this is our actually second year running the junior high retreat, which is really fun. So we're excited to welcome them back for a second year. And that is May 12th to 13th, and that is for grades 7 to 9. So grade 9s, you kind of have the opportunity to choose which event you want to go to, wherever your friends are kind of heading to or your youth group is heading to. And then, yeah, those are our two options. And right now on our website, our YQ at Home for this year is currently live. So you can check that out anytime. It'll remain available on there for download. So,
and I'd say, Jared, these retreats that we do at Briarcrest are all inclusive. So for the youth worker that's thinking about what to do, these events, you pay one time for your registration, and all your food, all your lodging is available. And as a volunteer youth worker, showing up to Briarcrest and getting, you know, dorm rooms for your group, and then knowing that they can't really get away, like there's a highway and then there's four fields around us, and it's pretty hard to sneak off. It's a safe event. It's a really closed, safe event, and it's in May now. It's not in the dead of winter. And this is, if you're, you know, our groups come from kind of the mountains to the Great Lakes, like right across Alberta through Manitoba and a little into America. If you're in the middle of the country here out west, this is a retreat that you absolutely should look into, because it is an incredible thing. We do, you know, we top out at about 990. That's kind of our cap right now, and looks like we'll get there this year. So times of the essence, I suppose, but this is an event you want to look into, because it is well done. We prioritize the youth worker relationship in all of our main sessions, and we truly are just trying to set the stage for the Lord to work through the relationships of the youth workers that bring their kids to a party like YouthQuake.
I love it so much. Cool stuff, you guys. Anything else that you want to say about YouthQuake, about Briarcrest, before we sign off here?
I would just say, you know, if you've got students who would love a Christian community after high school, like, take a look at Briarcrest College. We have a ton of fully authorized university level degrees, government authorized degrees in business psychology. Those are our biggest degrees. We've got a great Christian ministry degree if someone's looking to go into pastoral. But the majority of our students choose us because they want a year of Christian community and a year of legit school where they can learn more about the Bible. And if you've got a student that wants something like that, it's worth looking into Briarcrest for. And there's something, like Jeremy said earlier, there is something special about leaving home, leaving their routine and what's comfortable, and retreating out to the middle of Saskatchewan with us, and being a part of this small community here. So college is about 400, 450 students. It's not too small. It's not huge for sure, but it's worth taking a peek at if you've got someone who is serious about their faith, serious about school, and wants to have an incredible experience within a Christian community here within Canada.
On that note, we will let you guys go. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. All the links will be in the show notes for you to access this kind of stuff, and hope that you get a chance to check out Briarcrest and YouthQuake, and we'll see you back for another conversation next week here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.